And then finally, the question of the microbiome and antibiotics and checkpoint inhibitors. Nair, agree or disagree that there is a correlation?
I mean, there's not a lot of data, but I do agree that there does seem to be, you know, something which is there. There was a retrospective analysis looking at those patients that did receive antibiotics versus those that did not. They looked at patients that received within 2 months before or 1 month after the first PD-1 therapy, and they were for common indications such as dental, urinary, and pulmonary infections. They tried to match patients for performance status and comorbidities and other things to try to make sure it wasn't just sick patients that were getting antibiotics, and they tried to match for that. I mean, this retrospective analysis, the OS was 20 months versus 11 months. So, you know, as much as it's retrospective data and you go, well, you know, what does it mean?
I mean, enough that you kind of look at your patients and think twice about giving them an antibiotic if they're on a checkpoint inhibitor, or not that much?
I would avoid it if I could.
You would avoid it. Interesting. Corey, I see a disdain.
I need
look
to see more data. I mean, if somebody needs an antibiotic, you got to do it. But obviously, you might want to shorten the course of antibiotic, perhaps separate it a bit. But I think we have more retrospective data for steroids than antibiotics in this setting.
I agree if they need it, they need it. But there's a lot of soft calls as to whether somebody needs it.
And, where we're treating pneumonitis that may or may not exist, and it may just be the cancer.
Just out of curiosity, any ideas about the specific mechanism other than somehow it's affecting the microbiome? Anybody have any ideas specifically if this is true? Why?
Well, there has been some work showing that certain bacterial, you know, species within your microgut flora are associated with better response to immunotherapy. Why that is, I'm not really sure.
Sounds a little empiric.
I have to look back, but I remember, aren't macrolides also anti-inflammatory? I remember some data there.
Sure. Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, who knows? I mean, it's kind of interesting.
I think we do need more data, and there are studies that are looking at fecal microbiota transplants. One trial, which I think is really interesting, to take it from the responders to Pembro responders with melanoma to give it to patients. Another is looking at sort of single strains and other approaches to use those sort of 10 bacterial species that I mentioned that were published in that Nature paper in 2019 and giving those species to patients. So we'll see.
Maybe get some of your patients who stopped therapy and see what's inside their bowels, and they got out to 3-4 years.
Subsequent to this meeting on April 11, 2019, the Food and Drug Administration expanded the indication for pembrolizumab to the first-line treatment of patients with stage 3 non-small cell lung cancer who are not candidates for definitive chemoradiation or metastatic non-small cell lung cancer. Patients' tumors must have no EGFR or ALK genomic aberrations and express PD-L1 tumor proportion score greater or equal to 1% as determined by the FDA-approved test. Pembrolizumab was previously approved as a single agent for the first-line treatment of patients with metastatic non-small cell lung cancer whose tumors express PD-L1 TPS of greater or equal to 50%. This concludes our program. Special thanks to our faculty, and thank you for listening. This is Dr. Neil Love for this special audio program developed from a satellite CME symposium at the 2019 AACR meeting.